Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. You know what that music means. Time to bring in Mike. No, it's our buddy David Haw. You're so mean-spirited. He, of course, the lead sports columnist from the Chicago Tribune. He writes the In the Wake of the News column. And I said earlier, David, you're co-beat writer, too, on Loyola. That's how big this story is. All the big guns are out. And I guess we should start the conversation by asking if you feel Sister Jean is taking away the attention from the players. I'm totally kidding. What a wonderful story, David. What a wonderful story it is.
You know, I've been around the Loyola program a long time. The student journalists get on the shuttle bus yesterday, and I'm on a first-name basis with them because I've seen them, you know, around. And it was the best story from day one of the tournament. It's got to be one of the best of the year. You know, it's likable players, charismatic coach, and Sister Jean adds this element of charm to it that is you know, very much off a script. And when they to see her expression yesterday, I was 5 feet from her at my seat at press row after the game and wheeling her onto the court. First of all, her expression was priceless. Second of all, what I'll always remember is that here's this moment, these college kids experiencing this March Madness and Dante Ingram's shot and everything that we're going to be watching the highlight for years and years to come. And every single player stopped after they were like having this euphoric moment, and they stopped and they hugged her very gently. They said something to her and they walked off because she's part of this. And, you know, Porter Moser did the same thing. She is part of this. She has a place in this basketball culture that's, you know, more than basketball. And that's what you like so much about Loyola. You see it, and you know, it's similar to what Northwestern experienced last year. But guys, as much respect, and it's easy, the Northwestern program is great, and those kids are great too. They're in the Big Ten, and you know, there's a sense that a Big Ten team should do it, even though it was the first time ever. This is a Missouri Valley Conference team that these guys aren't thinking NBA necessarily. They're there for
NBA, yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's definitely something that, you know, is the best of college sports. It's close to the ideals we've said before, and yesterday was just one of those things you couldn't have drawn up any better.
There was that shot of you behind Sister Jean while she was being interviewed live on TV, and you were right there at the scores table as they were interviewing
her.
And, you should have seen the look on your face. It was fantastic, David. You had that look you have where you're kind of like – you've got like this like slight smile as you like you looked approvingly at the moment. You know what I mean? Like I could tell the story worked for you.
Well, I mean, how could it not work for you? How
oh,
could
it's
you
fantastic.
Not enjoy that?
It's great.
You know,
yeah,
because it was such again. It was such a contrast because you had this sort of excitement and this sort of everything. These college experience peaked yesterday for these kids. They're never going to have anything in college sports, and dare I say that is any better than what they did yesterday. And they control those emotions as they come off this court because there's this 98-year-old woman there that means so much to them. It's like everybody's grandmother, and they stop to pay her respect. You know, and that leaves an impression, Molly. It does because, you know, when you see somebody show that kind of consideration, it speaks to the entire likability of and the high character of these kids. And I can't stress that enough. They get up at the podium. Dante Ingram, his parents there from Chicago, he's electric personality, but he's got the presence of mind to just say the right things. Clayton Custer was up there. Marcus Towns, these kids get it. And, you know, yeah, it's a fun story to be part of.
Speaking as a man who was slapped around by nuns as a youngster, she is a nun. She can't be anyone's grandmother. I understand what you mean,
but
I went off on some guy on Turner for saying that because, you know, first of all, she's a great grandmother. Secondly, I mean, she's 98 years old, but she's a nun. There are rules, so let's not call her a grandmother.
I know. How many Jesuits were listening to me right now and just like standing up and like, no, she's a nun. I get it. I think just the image, the grandmotherly image, let's say it with that.
Two Our Fathers and three Hail Marys, Dave.
Okay. All right. Right after we hang up.
Oh, my goodness. She's America's nun. I think that's the right way to describe it.
America's nun. It's, you know what? I mean, the Ramblers are – that moment made March Madness for a lot of different things. But, you know, it's a – what I love about the story is that it's an innocent story in a tournament which will have to be vacated in a year or two.
No, you know what, Mike? That's exactly it, though. I mean, look, something will happen today that will maybe, you know, match that. I doubt it will surpass that, but it doesn't matter. What happened yesterday is indelible, and it's one of these things that, you know, Dante Ingram, whenever they have the reunion of this team, whenever they have a reference to this team, is going to be able to tell the story about how he was shouting Marcus, Marcus on the way down the floor, how he got the ball and he squared up and he was inside the March Madness logo and he buried it. And then he went looking for his parents in the stands. He's going to be able to tell this at the reunion. Maybe not in an NBA locker room. Maybe not, you know, when he's being interviewed at the NBA finals and talk about your college days. Because these guys aren't necessarily automatic NBA players. But they're guys you want to cover, you want to be around, and you want to root for. Because they represent all that is good about college sports. And this moment is what March is supposed to be about. It's sort of his Bryce Drew imitation, because that's what you think of. Plays like that define the tournament, and now Loyola has its own defining play.
And all of Gryffindor celebrated.
How about that? All the stars, and, you know, the turnout for Loyola was tremendous. You know, it was easily the most well-represented school in the building down here in Dallas. The chants, I mean, everybody loves an underdog, but I think it went further than that. They had definitely people that, you know, invested their time and their money into coming into, you know, it felt very much like, and this is no disrespect, but it felt very much like a high school experience. You know, my son's a high school athlete. You know, you're around that experience, the emotion, and you're invested. It has this innocence almost to it that, you know, experiencing something for the first time. There's no nonchalance at all about anybody involved with this story from Loyola's standpoint. And that's what makes, you know, today exciting, tomorrow exciting. You see, you know, Porter's family getting into it. It's like it has everything that you hope to have in a college sports story right now.
And David, I think it's a true testament to patience. You know, we hear that word in sports and fans get ticked off when they hear it, when they're asked by teams and administrators to say, hey, stick with us, be patient. But Porter Moser, this is year 7 for Moser at Loyola, and there aren't many coaches that would be allowed to go through the trials and tribulations that Moser went through at Loyola, where he did have 4 losing seasons in his first 6 years there. I mean, you just saw Kevin Ollie get fired at Connecticut just a few years after winning a national championship. Tubby Smith gets let go 2 years in at Memphis. The fact that Loyola stuck with Moser, and now that he's being rewarded and they're being rewarded for their patience, says a lot about how sometimes you should just take a step back and allow something to build.
But it's the exception to the rule, Zach. There's no doubt about that. And I think that when you say it, and, you know, people are going to automatically associate it in Chicago with the DePaul situation, which has so much losing you're familiar with, and the Dave Leto patience that they're showing him. And, you know, I think every situation is different, but I think that when you see Porter Moser, you have an example of the pressure to win didn't exist at Loyola that maybe it did at Connecticut and other places, that are because of the money that you pay these coaches. When you exceed, you know, couple $1 million of a salary, you have higher expectations, I believe. And, you know, Loyola just, that's not that place. And I think that's part of the beauty of it. And they were patient with him. He had a plan, though, and he articulated that plan each and every year, even through the losing. And you could see the progress, and you could see him stick with, I'm going to do this with high-character guys. I'm going to do this with an attention to detail. I'm going to do this by creating a culture. And they allowed him the time, they gave him the resources, and he's created that culture, and the patience has paid off.
David, we'll let you go. We asked the question this morning if this is a one-off, if this is it, if that's their moment, and then you move on, or if they had a chance to upset Tennessee too, because, you know, that's a really big, strong, tough team from the SEC. The Ramblers went down and beat Florida at Florida, so I don't know, but there's not a lot of time to prepare. There's not a lot of things you can do. What happens next?
That probably favors Loyola, actually. I mean, I think that their team aspect and their intelligence and their ability to process information and moments quickly and capably, I think makes it impossible to rule them out. I wouldn't say this is necessarily one-off. I think this is a good team. They took a while to get their stride. The first half was a little choppy for both teams. But what you saw down the stretch was the confidence, like a feeling, sense that, you know, that's why Porter Moser recruits winners, because these moments, it just instinctively, they know what to do. They know how to do it. When Clayton Custer hit that corner three and Ben Richardson, who didn't score a point but influenced the game, found him, I said, wow, you know, this is why he's player of the year in the conference. This is why this team has 29 victories. So, Molly, I wouldn't rule him out. I mean, it's the tournament. You can't do that. And I think that, you know, that's what the anticipation over the next day or so is going to be great. Tomorrow's going to be another big moment. And I think Sister Jean should get a good night's sleep.
David, thank you. You know, just on a personal note, I got to tell you, it's a great story to watch. You've been on it, and you've written the hell out of it, and it's just been so much fun to read what you're doing and to also have the team, you know, giving you a reason. So thank you for that, buddy.
Yeah, this is why you enjoyed to cover stuff like this. I appreciate it, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, David. It really is why you love college sports, why you love sports.
It seems so pure. This segment is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, and to have it 2 years in a row in Chicago
with Northwestern
Cinderella run, and then to follow it up with what we're seeing right now from Loyola. And, you know, Tennessee is significantly better defensively than Miami, but both Miami and Tennessee struggle to put the ball in the basket. So there's an opportunity for Loyola if the Ramblers can continue to stick to their identity, which has been very good from a defensive standpoint this year.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hanley. He's Zach Zabin at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Zach Zabin sitting in for Brian. That is the ever classy Chris Holtman. Guess where he's from? Oh, Ohio State. No, hard to believe.
The Ohio State, Molly.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Ohio they get State. The definite article. And he is the coach that, you know, didn't like the fake news. Wow. Okay, Chris, why don't you go back to Butler and you'll be much more attractive to us.
He did it.
I just think it's a bad reaction to a victory. You don't come off the floor and you don't talk about the kids and you don't say how wonderful it is to advance, survive in advance, and boy, you know, we had this performance or that performance. You're like, no one had us in their bracket. You know, like really? Are you? I mean, this is your reaction. You know, you're gonna go negative. What the hell is wrong with you? You can feel that way and you can say it, but that was his first thought after the game ended. That's all he had. So, Chris Holtman, God bless you.
Can I just say that Whiny Mully is now my favorite imitation? Of all the your imitation
of a whiny person
is phenomenal.
You mean when you're how's that? Now we have a cut for when that moment comes. I just think it's a great event. The tournament is fun, and it's great to see kids win a game. And it's, you know, obviously Ohio State, I guess that's expected. Of course, we're Ohio State, we're going to win. And so you have that attitude. But geez, Chris, why don't you think of your players? Huh? Why don't you think it's, you know, it's great that these guys defied what some people thought. Yeah, there's ways of saying it without being kind of a jerk. That's one way of saying it.
I mean, you and I rarely have the same reaction to those, like, post-game.
We had exactly the same reaction.
I mean, I was like, I made my head, I was looking at my bracket, shaking my head already, and I'm like, what? I mean, what? That's your reaction? You guys just had a really nice win?
Weird.
The first word out of your mouth? I can see if.
But you know what was great? She ends the interview
She dismissed him, right?
She's like, okay, thanks, coach. And that was the end of that. Like, get this guy off TV. And he was kind of like, but wait, I wanted to stand here and be a jerk a little bit more. I really wanted to kind of stand back and celebrate my moment and spit down upon everyone that didn't like me. He was a monster.
There were some great stories yesterday. Obviously, the number one story was what Loyola was able to do down the stretch of that game, showing the poise under pressure.
I can't even believe I'm hearing you say that. That's so cool, Zach. Bless you. It's true, but I'm saying that's an out-of-body experience, thinking that the team that I like – actually not only won, but was the big story. Thank you for that.
Yeah, so there was that. I thought Buffalo's performance against Arizona, there's nothing that could have prepared you for that.
It's incredible performance.
There were a lot of people that thought Arizona was talented enough to go all the way to the Final Four. And I think if you thought Buffalo was good enough to upset Arizona, that's one thing. But that wasn't upset basketball yesterday. That was
a blowout.
That was a blowout. That was a beatdown by Buffalo. Unbelievable. There was the game. It was late between, and I love Alabama and the way they play against Buzz Williams in Virginia Tech. Colin Sexton is a phenomenal player. And just the big plays that Alabama was able to make down the stretch because of all the attention paid to Sexton, to me, was a big deal. The Rhode Island Oklahoma overtime, which was just ridiculous. You know, here you have the best player in college basketball in Trae Young, the explosive scorer, just losing it in that overtime session and doing things that you're not supposed to do if you expect to win games. So to me, it was a lot of fun. I think today is going to be interesting as well, because there are no locks in this NCAA tournament. There is nothing that you can say going forward that'll be like, yeah, I'll be surprised. I mean, obviously you'd be surprised if a 16 beat a 1, because that's never happened. But I think when you look overall at the brackets, you know, there's some teams we're not even talking about.
Yes.
That I think can make a big run. Purdue, you know, they're right in our backyard here.
Yes.
They've got one of the electric guards in the country in Carson Edwards, and they are loaded with size up front, which is, I believe, the Achilles heel of Villanova. And eventually I think they're going to end up facing one another. And you wonder if Villanova will be able to handle the size of a Purdue later on in this tournament. Syracuse, a team that people felt shouldn't have made the NCAA tournament. And we've seen that before. But when they do, and they're not expected to get in, and they're not expected to make a big run,
they might win it.
That's usually when they go out and make those runs. And, you know, we've seen them in the Final Four the last few years in those types of situations. So, and all these Big East schools, you know, we talk about the power conferences, and the Big East is not considered, you know, that major power conference, but they're not a mid-major. This is a talented conference that I get to see. And all those schools, starting with Villanova, you know, Xavier, another number one, they have an opportunity to do some things. Xavier's a team a lot of people are counting out, saying they're vulnerable, going to be the first number one seed to fall. I just see Xavier as a team that, with the tournament experience that they gained last year, with being able to do what they did in the Big East throughout the regular season, I wouldn't be so quick to dismiss what Xavier's able to do.
Well, we want to talk to you about this stuff, Zach, because obviously you've covered the Big East all year long, and teams like Butler playing today, and they're a 10 seed against a 7 seed in Arkansas. I think what the Buffalo thing tells you is that, you know, the committee, good as people may feel it is, underseeded some teams, as they always do.
And they always do.
It's
and
unavoidable.
Why isn't Notre Dame in the NCAA tournament?
Well, we'll address these issues and more. Let's get to Kev Bowe for a scoreboard update. Good morning, Kevin.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thank you, Kev Bowe. It's Mully and Hanley. Zach Zabin sitting in. And we got a lot of people that want to check in. We'll get to all of your phone calls. Is your bracket busted? Is that what's happened to you? How bad did Arizona hurt, or are you okay with that one? Oklahoma, were you on all these teams? First, let's get to Greg. Greg's on the road. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, guys. I'm glad Zach's here today because I want to run this by you guys. In the last year or so, I've been trying to think of in the last 10 years, what's been constant with the Bears? What's been their problem? And the one I thought of a couple, but the one I really think about is the fact that their quarterback is always under pressure. If you look back, probably since the 2006 Super Bowl team, I can't remember them having the offensive line seems to be like an afterthought with the Chicago Bears, and we don't know if Kyle Long is ever going to be the same player he was before his injuries. And there's so many questions on that offensive line. Are they going to address that, or are we going to go into this season with Bobby Massey and Charles Leno Jr. as our tackles again?
All right, Greg. They gave Massey a big contract in free agency to bring him in. Ditto with Josh Sitton, more money to Sitton, who was let go. And obviously you draft a first-round pick, and you have another guy in Cody Whitehair that you drafted fairly high in the NFL draft. I mean, I don't know that it's been an afterthought. Maybe it hadn't been great. And, you know, you brought in Harry Hiestand, who should help.
I would not agree with that assessment that the Bears have ignored the offensive line. I think that's crazy. I think that this is a team that's been able to consistently run the football. That's been their identity since Ryan Pace became the general manager of the team. They've been able to do it with a variety of different offensive linemen kind of moving in and out. To me, they did address it. First, Harry Hiestand. I think it's important to remember that because of the proliferation of these spread offenses that you see in college football, you know, it's not just quarterbacks that are tough to find that understand how to run a pro-style offense. It's also finding linemen who can adapt to a pro-style offense. And that's something that I think the Bears morphing into this kind of hybrid offensive team is going to help them. I also think that I would not bet against Kyle Long. I'm a big believer that he's going to come back healthy and better. And there's still the draft where there's some talented offensive linemen that are going to be available where the Bears pick. So I don't think the offensive line is being ignored.
312-644-6767. We'll get to all your phone calls. Again, where's your bracket at? What team has ruined you at this point? Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, we've got Zach Zabin filling in today, and he is a wonderful man that has a great depth of knowledge about all things Bears and all things college basketball and all things Cubs and all things.
I was thinking about this yesterday while you're listing the resume, and it is quite an extensive menu.
Yes.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Heading to Vegas, by the way, to watch the Cubs in Cleveland this weekend.
Are you going to go out to dinner with Brian?
I don't think he wants to hang out with me in a non-work setting.
But he is out there with his buddies, and you can be a good pal for, you know, you're everyone's buddy.
You know, I used to live in Vegas. And,
no.
This
is a fact of your life. I did not know.
First job out of school, I was Pete Rose's update anchor on the old Pete Rose show. And they used to do
Dustin,
the show.
Dustin, did you live in Vegas for a while?
I lived in a hotel for a couple of weeks, yeah. I almost moved out there.
Wow.
Yeah, it was something else. 21 years old.
And you and Pete, you still know Pete, right? You still stayed in touch with him?
I don't know if Pete remembers me, but...
But you know him.
I definitely know him.
You were 21.
I was 21. So
in Vegas.
In Vegas.
With Pete Rose.
With Pete Rose.
I'm not sure. This is a family program. I'm not sure we need to be listening to this.
Well, Pete wasn't always in Vegas. There were times where he did the show at the MGM Grand in Vegas.
Uh-huh.
He also had a restaurant in Boca.
So you'd go back and forth with him, or
no?
I was back and forth.
My home base was Vegas, but at 21, Vegas,
I can't imagine
a phenomenal place.
Was that pre Cirque du Soleil?
No.
That's how long it was. Yeah. Cirque du Soleil now has, like, what, Dustin, 7 shows in Vegas, something like that?
It must be.
You blacked out at one, so you should know.
I went, yeah, O show. Yeah,
O, money, which so is unbelievable.
I don't believe O existed when I was there.
O haunts me like a dream. It was this, like, wacky, kind of weird French music playing, and then they have, like, a giant tank of water, and first you see it, they have, like, a floor that goes up and down. So you see a guy run across the water, splash, 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 and then you see a guy dive into the spot where he was, only now he's diving in. It's unbelievable. That show was unbelievable.
Yes.
Those Cirque du Soleil shows, I find myself, like, entranced by them, but also half creeped out. You know, it's just so strange and weird, and, you know, there's a certain wonder element to it, but I don't know what it is. Those shows, I actually go to those shows, which is crazy, but I have been to Vegas, and I went to O. Now, this was with my wife. I went to, what was the Beatles one? Love? That's a really good one. I've never been to the Elvis one, much to my regret, because usually we go see Big Elvis when we're in Vegas.
So the first weekend of the NCAA.
Those are my kind of shows.
Yeah. Yep. Which, the first week.
Free and quick.
That's right.
The first weekend of the NCAA tournament in Vegas is bananas.
If you love the NCAA tournament and if you like to have a wager or two, it's a bucket list thing. You really ought to do it.
Yes.
And when we were younger, my brother used to say, it's my dream to go to Vegas for the NCAA tournament. And we would be like, well, shouldn't your dream be to, like, cure cancer or world peace? Should it be your dream? And we'd have these philosophical arguments about it. But we ended up doing it, and we ended up doing it regularly. And we talked to Tim Doyle yesterday, and the key is to go the second week, because as great as it is and as much fun as it is and how you need to experience it, it is overrun with people.
Yes.
And it is like a frat party. And you go a week later and there's a lot more. Still fun. Still all the good games and all the rest of it. But it's not as, what would you call it, trafficked.
Crazy and as populated. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. But I will be there watching baseball this weekend.
You will, Matt. You'll be watching basketball, baseball, everything else.
Well, it's amazing what you can do with
a smartphone. So you're leaving today for Vegas?
I'm leaving tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning?
Yeah, I'll get there. I'm used to traveling. So
I know you travel with DePaul.
So
you go all over the country.
Yes. So we'll get there and watch that. So this is what I was wondering. So yesterday, the Loyola game comes on, right? You're watching it. Mm. Now, how many people are, and it's the biggest day of the NCAA. I mean, we're underway, right? It's Thursday. The thing is, I mean, it's nonstop games. Do people then switch over and start watching the Bears press conference because you're psyched up about?
I taped or recorded. I don't know. I used the wrong term. I Xeroxed the Bears game. I mimeographed the news conference. No, I did go back. I doubled back after the game, you know, later in the day, and I did watch it. So,
because they,
I think that's what. And again, I'm, you know, I was watching that game. But I also wanted to see everything that happened at the Bears.
See, because you can't turn away. Because they are making moves that on paper.
Good moves.
Lead you to believe that good things are happening. But then there's the NCAA tournament that's going on. And everyone's got one of these, right? Everyone's got one of these brackets. And you're looking at it and you're saying to yourself, I can't believe Oklahoma is going to beat Rhode Island. I thought Rhode Island, I have Rhode Island going, Molly? You're not going to believe this, but I have Rhode Island going places. I have Rhode Island going places.
Why wouldn't I believe
NCAA
that?
Tournament.
Why would I not believe that?
I have them beating Duke.
They got a Hurley. Do you really?
I have them beating Duke.
Now you're getting a little carried away. No
because
offense.
I don't think Duke. I see a lot of people have Duke in the Final Four. I don't believe that you can go that far without a true point guard. And Duke doesn't have one.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I just, and I think traditionally when I was making my picks, there's, you know, you got a bunch of rules about how you go about it. And I always, you love guards. You love leadership at guard. You love senior leadership at guard. You also want to have an NBA player or two where you know that there's somebody really good that's going to be able to take over a game. I thought what you said about Loyola earlier was so spot on. And I don't know if we got to it on the air, but the leadership of the guards, I was very interested, and we'll talk to Porter Moser in just a little bit, but I was very interested to read what David had about how had Krutwig, the center, rebounded the ball on the missed free throw, they'd have called a timeout. But because it was Ben Richardson, a guard that got the ball, and a senior guard who's been there 4 years, he didn't call a timeout. They went to attack is what they call it. He passes the ball to Marcus Towns. Towns runs up the floor to the three-point line, draws about three guys on him, kicks the ball out to Dante Ingram with like 2 seconds left, who elevates and takes a 30-foot shot that goes in, and you win the game. And it was because – and I got to tell you, I really believe that if they had called a timeout and tried to run a play in on – you know, Loredega is a really good coach, and I think they would have defended the three-point line better. Yep. And I think they got a really good shot, a really good look in the center of the court. Again, a very long shot, but a really good look at it. And a guy that has hit that shot before, and he was having a bad shooting night, but he met his moment. And I think that had they had to call a timeout, they might not have won that game. In fact, I don't think they would have won the game. So it's interesting to me the way that worked out and worked out in their favor.
I think it's not an accident that you watch the way Loyola was able to perform at the tail end of that game. The poise that the Ramblers displayed was something else. And that's the poise that you gain when coming in, you've won 17 of 18. When you go out and you play a tough schedule in which, you know, the opponents have an RPI of 22. When you have 9 true road wins, because I don't care what conference you're in, it is hard to win on the road. Only 17 schools had more road wins than Loyola this season. And then, you know, defensively, because of your identity, because this is what you bring to the court every single time you step on it, number 5 in the country in defensive scoring, allowing 62.2 points per game. You know that you're going to be in games, so you can focus on the things that you need to do to win the tight ones. And you saw it all in display. Miami was rattled. They were not prepared. I think they expected a timeout to be called, and yep, you saw some of the chaos there. There were a couple of games where you didn't see a timeout called at the end yesterday. So a terrific move by Porter Moser. And again, I think when you look at Tennessee, it's a different scenario because Tennessee is a significantly better defensive team than Miami is. And I think that will have an impact. We know the best athletes are going to be on the Power 5 schools. So that's why from an athletic standpoint, Tennessee is going to have the advantage. The key is, can someone get hot in that game for Loyola? That's what you need to make a sustained run. You need someone to just get hot from an offensive standpoint. And yesterday, you didn't need that against Miami. I think you will need it against Tennessee.
Do you like Providence today?
Yeah, I like Providence a lot.
Do you like Butler today?
I do like Butler today against Arkansas, and then I think Purdue is going to give them the treatment.
And who else is a Big East team playing? Is Creighton in the Big East?
Creighton is in the Big East. They're playing Bruce Weber in Kansas State. There's a former Kansas State player on Creighton, one of the best players in the country, guy by the name of Marcus Foster. I predict monster game for him against his old school.
So you're going with the Big East. He's riding that pony. Mully and Hadley, we've got a lot of fun left. Before we get out of here, we're going to be talking to Mike DeCourcy from the Big Ten Network and the Sporting News. We'll bring him in next. We'll ask him his thoughts on what he saw, and were there overseeds, underseeds? What does he make of it? Mully and Hanley on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.